The Old Testament was Jesus' Bible. When Jesus was here on earth, the New Testament had not been written yet. The Holy Scriptures that Jesus had, the Holy Scriptures that Jesus loved, the Holy Scriptures that Jesus came to fulfill, the Word of God that our Lord Jesus Christ read and taught from is the Old Testament. We look at Matthew behind me on the screen. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. When Jesus talks about the law or the prophets, he is talking about the Old Testament. Do not think that I came to abolish the Old Testament. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, even heaven and earth shall pass away, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Jesus believed and taught the Old Testament as the Word of God. I want you, brothers and sisters, I want you to love the Old Testament. I want you to know the Old Testament. So this morning, I want to introduce you to God's Word, the Old Testament. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and help you to know and love the Old Testament? Will you pray now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts? Help them to know and love the Old Testament. Will you pray now for me that I would preach this message accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can see, today is a brand new sermon series, Growing Deeper, a Survey of the Old Testament. We're going to cover the entire Old Testament this morning. But I want to assure you two things. Number one, that's not the entire series. After today, me and the elders are going to take turns, and we're going to come up and we're going to introduce to you one book per Sunday. So next week, for example, will be me again introducing you to the book of Genesis. The following week, I will do Exodus. The following week, Elder Michael Tyler will do Leviticus, and so on through Malachi. And it's our desire that you know and love the Old Testament. It occurs to us that many Christians do not read the Old Testament. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy for reasons that I hope you will see this morning. Let me assure you of something else. Number two, even though I'm covering the entire Old Testament today, you will not be here until 6 p.m. So hang in there with me, and we will have a regular length sermon. Please open your Bibles to the table of contents. The table of contents. probably a statement you've never heard any pastor say. Please open your Bible to the table of contents. And you will see that there are 39 beautiful books in the Old Testament. 39 beautiful books. In your notes, number one, the Old Testament is divided into five sections. The Old Testament is divided into five sections. They are, and I've provided them for you in your notes and on the screen, law, history, poetry, major prophets, and minor prophets. Some Bible scholars divide it into three sections, history, poetry, and prophets. And then law and history would be the two parts of history, and major and minor being the two parts of prophets. Let's look at them one at a time. Section one is called the law. And as you can see from your notes, your sermon notes, it has five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This section is awesome. Awesome. Sometimes called Torah or Pentateuch for five books. In your notes, number two, in the law section of the Old Testament, we meet God. In the law section of the Old Testament, we meet God. In this beautiful section, Trinity Baptist, we have the story of creation, the story of how sin entered the human race, the story of marriage, Noah's Ark. We meet Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We see God adopting the people of Israel to be his beloved children in this section. The story of Joseph. The incredible story of God rescuing his people from Egypt and giving them the promised land. And then we have the heartbreaking story of God's beloved people disobeying him, not taking the promised land, and wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But most importantly, in these five books, we meet God. We meet God. God reveals himself to us as the God who is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. We see that God is holy. We see that God is perfectly, morally pure and clean and cannot tolerate sin. In these books, we see that God is a God of love. And though he cannot tolerate sin, in these first five books, we see God providing forgiveness for his people. We see how the penalty of sin is death. But God, instead of insisting that we pay for our sin with our own life, provides a way for us to be forgiven. In these five books, we see that God accepts a substitute sacrifice on our behalf and graciously offers us forgiveness. In these five books, we see and understand. In these five books, we see and understand how God can be perfectly holy and perfectly forgiving at the same time. Trinity Baptist, in your notes, we cannot fully understand and appreciate salvation by grace through faith in Christ without these first five books. We cannot fully understand and appreciate salvation by grace through faith in Christ without these first five books. The Jewish sacrificial system, the wonderful story of Exodus, the wonderful story of the Passover, these first five books give you a deep understanding of salvation by grace. The next section is history. History. You can see in your notes it has 12 books. The history section, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. This section, Trinity Baptist, is a treasure chest of Bible stories. This section is a treasure chest of Bible stories. It is the story of Israel. When you leave the law section, which ends with the book of Deuteronomy, you see that Israel is once again at the edge of the promised land. But this is a new generation. Last time they turned away in fear and disobedience. This time they march in and take it. And in the history books, you read the story of Israel taking possession of the promised land that God gives them. You read about Israel's life in the promised land. You see them disobey and suffer the consequences. You see them repent, cry out to God, and enjoy His grace and forgiveness. There are great stories in this section. Great stories in this section. The story of Ruth. The story of the prophet Samuel. The incredible story of Esther. In this section, God gives us the stories of all of Israel's kings. The life of Saul. The powerful and inspiring life of King David. The life of Solomon are all in this section. After Solomon, Israel tragically divides into two sections. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And in this history section, brothers and sisters, we read the stories of 39 kings, 19 in Israel and 20 in Judah simultaneously. We read the stories of these 39 kings. And brothers and sisters, as you read the story of these 39 kings in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, you will learn to trust and obey. In your notes, the story of Israel will inspire you to trust the Lord and obey Him. The story of Israel will inspire you to trust the Lord and obey Him. As you read each story in this section, as you read each story, you are inspired and encouraged to live by faith and obey the Lord. Trinity Baptist Church, reading these stories in the history section will change your life. The next section is poetry. Poetry. There's 5 books in the poetry section. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. In this section, there is an incredible treasure chest of practical life wisdom. The book of Proverbs. And I want you to know something. If you will make it a habit to read one verse a day from the book of Proverbs, one verse a day, and apply that verse to your life, the wisdom in that book will preserve your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me, me in this verse stands for wisdom. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. In this section we have the book of Proverbs, but we also have the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a very practical book on what's important in life and what isn't. Ecclesiastes is an incredible book of wisdom about life that everyone needs to read and apply to their life. It tells us about the one thing in life that really matters. and helps us put all the smaller things in their proper perspective. The book of Job is an incredible book for people who are going through hard times. If you're struggling in life, Job is someone you can relate to. But most importantly, the book of Job gives you a reverence for God. The book will give you a proper knowledge of God and a proper attitude toward God. Song of Solomon is in this section. It is the most beautiful book about romance between a man and a woman. It is the most beautiful book about romance ever written. This book will help you truly enjoy your relationship with your spouse. Perhaps the greatest treasure in this section is the book of Psalms. 150 poems about God. 150 poems about God, written by the Holy Spirit through King David and others. The book is more valuable than all the gold in the world, Trinity Baptist. The book of Psalms is more valuable than all the gold in the world. You know, what I love about the one-year Bible that I read for my devotions is if you read the one-year Bible, you read about three chapters in the Old Testament every day. You read about a chapter in the New Testament every day. You read one psalm every day. And you read one verse from Proverbs every day. You take that one-year Bible and you read it for a year, and your life will be changed forever. Life is hard. Life is challenging. Life is full of pain and suffering. And in the Psalms, David helps us pour out our hearts in prayer to God. But the Psalms doesn't leave us there. The Psalms do so much more than that. In the midst of our pain, the Psalms lift our eyes up to God, who is our hope. You and I need that book. Would you open to Psalm 42, and let me show you what I mean. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. That's one example. There's 150 of those. The most incredible collection of poetry ever composed. In your notes, in this section, we find hope in God in the midst of great pain and suffering. The last two sections of the Old Testament are the major prophets and the minor prophets. The major prophets and the minor prophets. Look in your notes. The prophets are a companion or addition to the history books from 2 Kings to Esther. The prophets are a companion or addition to the history books from 2 Kings to Esther. So if you had all 39 books listed in a line, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so forth. Once you get to 2 Kings, you go 2 Kings to Esther, you put the poetry books over here, and then Isaiah to Malachi, you move underneath the books of 2 Kings to Esther as a companion or an addition. A wonderful gift. In your notes, the history books give the story. The prophets give God's message to the people during that time. Trinity Baptist Church, the prophets are perhaps the least read books in the whole Bible. That is a tragedy. They are an incredible treasure of God's Word. If we read 2 Kings through Esther, we read all these amazing stories about Israel. And if that was all we had, we would learn a lot about God. We would learn a lot about God. We would be built up and encouraged. And there's nothing forcing God to give us 39 books. He can stop at the end of the story with Esther and go on to Matthew. No one's telling God to give us 39 books. But the Old Testament provides us with so much more. God spoke to his people during the time of Israel's history. God spoke to his people, and we have his message to them written down in the Bible. And that's the prophets. That's the prophets. The major prophets, you can see in your notes, there are five: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And finally, there are 12 minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The major prophets are named major not because they are more important. It is simply because they are larger. They're big books. The minor prophets are much shorter, and in most cases, you can read the entire minor prophet in one sitting. They're shorter books. In your notes, in the prophets, God reveals himself to his people Israel. In the prophets, God reveals himself to his people Israel. God talks to his people. He tells them how much he loves them. He tells them what kind of life is pleasing to him, shining his marvelous light on their sin, warning them of judgment, and assuring them of forgiveness if they repent. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? The prophets will help you know him. The prophets are incredibly valuable to us. As we read God's message to his people Israel, we get a clear picture of who God is and how to live for him. What is righteous behavior? What is unrighteous behavior? How does God want to be worshipped? How does God want his people to live? The prophets are God's message to his people. There is a lot of encouragement for us in the prophets. In your notes, as you read through the prophets, you learn that no matter what happens in this world, God is sovereign. He is in charge and in control. God is working in the world. He is raising up kings, knocking down kings, raising up governments, knocking down governments, moving toward the final day when Jesus Christ will return and set up a kingdom that will never be shaken. That is the message of the prophets. God is in charge. God is in control. Incredibly encouraging reading. Do not neglect the books of Isaiah to Malachi. Read them over and over and over again. Trinity Baptist Church, when Christ our Lord was being tempted by the devil, he turned to the Old Testament and quoted it to defeat the temptation. When Jesus taught about marriage, he quoted from the Old Testament. When he wanted to teach people about the purpose of the temple, he quoted the Word of God, the Old Testament. When he taught people about himself, when Jesus taught people about his kingdom, when he taught people about the resurrection of the dead, he quoted from the Word of God, the Old Testament. After Jesus rose from the dead, he met two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. I want you to see this. Turn to Luke 24. Look at this great story. Luke 24, starting from verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. All these things is the crucifixion and the resurrection. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. This is right after the resurrection. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Clopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. Do you see what's happening here, brothers and sisters? The crucifixion happens, and two disciples are walking along, and they're confused and scared. They don't know what to think. Look at what Jesus does. Verse 25. He said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Was it not necessary for the Christ or the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Look at this, Trinity. Look at this. Verse 27. Then, beginning with Moses, the law, the first five books, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus opened up the Old Testament and walked them through it and explained to them the things about himself. In your notes, the Old Testament teaches us about Jesus. The Old Testament teaches us about Jesus. Trinity Baptist Church, behold the treasure of the Old Testament. The treasure of the Old Testament. Each Sunday, me or an elder will come and we will introduce to you one whole book. The Old Testament. Read it. Explore it. Know it. Treasure it. And obey it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Old Testament. We pray that we would be a church that knows it. That we would be a church that loves it. That we would be a church that reads it and honors it as the Word of God. I pray now for myself and each elder as we introduce the books one by one. Help us to be accurate. Help us to be powerful. Help us to represent it well. In Jesus' name, amen.